Good morning.
Good morning.
There's a few off today. Some are sick and some are away on work experience. Well, we trust the Lord will bless both. Heal those who are sick and give wisdom to those who are out there on work experience. We're turning to Hebrews 11. Well, in fact, we've all turned by the looks of it. You're already there at Hebrews 11. We're going to read three verses. Start at verse 14 as we take up our study again of this list of bright and shining lights for God, men and women who served the Lord and who were a great testimony, and they're still serving the Lord in that they are an example to us. The light's still shining. Right, verse 14. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Last week, we considered how Abraham and his descendants had turned their back on the land of Babylon. That's where Abraham had been born, and Sarah too, in that part of Babylon known as Ur of the Chaldees. And the Lord called him out of there and pointed him to a promised land, which today we know as the land of Israel. And he journeyed from Babylon down across desert wildernesses to the land of promise. And this was done at God's bidding. And we see in what he did a picture of what the Christian does. He hears the Lord. He hears the Lord call him to follow him, and follow him to a land of promise. That's why Christians are called pilgrims, just like those we're reading of here in Hebrews 11. We're on a pilgrimage. You know what that means. We're on a journey. We're on a journey. And every day we're journeying closer and closer and closer. Those of you who are saved, you're journeying closer and closer to heaven. Closer and closer to heaven. Now we want to look today at these three verses that we read together. And there are three simple things I want you to notice in them. First of all, we have the testimony that these pilgrims bore. As they journeyed, they spoke out and witnessed and bore testimony. You will notice that the previous verse, verse 13, says that these all died in faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed. You know what confess means, to speak, to tell. And that's what they did. As they journeyed, during their life, they confessed, they spoke of the fact that they were strangers and pilgrims in the land. There's an old hymn that says, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." And this world is not the home of the Christian. We're not at home here. That's why the noise of the world, what it's doing, what it's saying, makes the Christian uncomfortable. Where Lot lived in that evil city of Sodom, it says he was vexed with his neighbor's behavior, the way they carried on, the sins they were engaged in, what they talked about. They vexed him, troubled him. He wasn't at home there. And of course he shouldn't have been there, silly man. He should have got out. We should have lived much nearer to Abraham and kept company with him. But in his foolishness and in his greed for money, and I have to say, I think his wife had a lot to do with it. She had desires for the city life. You remember what happened to her? When the angels led Lot and his two daughters and the wife out of the city and told them to flee because God was going to destroy the city, it says that she sort of held back, and then she turned round and looked longingly towards the city. She didn't like leaving it, and God smote her. She became a pillar of salt. Well, pilgrims here, they confess this world's not our home. We're travelling to our real home, travelling to heaven. And they bore this testimony. They told people of this. They told people of this. And boys and girls, I hope that you make no secret of your hope. I know and have heard of pupils in our school speaking to friends, to neighbours, to family who are not saved and telling them how they need to be saved. And that's good. That's good. And I hope you do it. Because in many instances, there's no one else to tell them but you. They don't go to a church where the gospel's preached. They likely never read their Bible. So unless you tell them, there's nobody going to tell them. We need to be like these bright and shining lights that we're looking at and confess clearly and publicly and make no secret of our hope and our desire to get to heaven. The word plainly there, if you look please at verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly. Oh, if you're going to talk about heaven, be plain. Don't mumble and use phrases and terms that people will be hard to understand what you're talking about. I've heard it been said, you know, about someone who has got saved. Oh, they've got religion. They've become religious. That's not plain. What do they mean? Have they become Hindus? Or have they become Muslims? Is that the religion they have? There's no plainness about that term. No, the Christian will say, I have put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm saved from my sins and I'm on my way to heaven. Plain. The word plain, by the way, means they made an exhibition of their hopes. See up there? On that board, at the back of the room, that's an exhibition. A lot of photographs, showing things, revealing things, highlighting things in the school, etc. Well, that's what the word means here. They made plain. They made an exhibition. They put on show what their hopes were. They weren't ashamed to speak of their hopes. Oh, never be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Never be ashamed of what it is he has done for you. Paul said in Romans 1:16, you know the verse, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And we mustn't be ashamed. We mustn't hide away what it is God has done for us. You know, we're appointed as witnesses. You can see that at the end of the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 24, the closing words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. Luke 24, verse 48. Ye are witnesses of these things. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus to his apostles. And they come down from them to us. The Lord has recorded and kept a record of these words because they're meant for us as well. We're witnesses. We testify. We tell. We speak of the Savior. So, we're to bear a simple testimony just like those pilgrims that we're reading about here in Hebrews 11. Secondly, let me point out to you that they were very steadfast in their pilgrimage. Do you know what steadfast means? Sticking to the path. Not wandering off, but keeping on the path. And they were steadfast. Look at what it says. Verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country. Now, I told you that Abraham had been led out by the Lord from Babylon, from Ur of the Chaldees, and led them away over to Israel, Canaan. And they were following God's promise. They were going there at the word of God, and they stayed there because God said, I'm going to give you this land. Now, they could have gone back to Babylon. There might have been reasons why. There might have been attractions in Babylon. That's where all the family was. They would have known, what, hundreds of people there? All mommy's connection, all daddy's connection, grandas, grannies, uncles, aunts, neighbours. They would have all been living there. And no doubt that might have been a bit of an attraction, but they didn't go back. They stayed steadfast in the place where God had directed them to and stayed on the pilgrim path. You know, boys and girls, it is the proof of someone being a real Christian when they do not turn back. That's the proof of a real Christian. Shortly after I was converted and I got in amongst the Free Presbyterians in Ravenhill, Free Presbyterian Church is what they called the congregation that now is called the Martyrs. And I went to Young People's Fellowship and began to hear things that I'd never heard before, choruses, hymns. And there was a wee chorus that said, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back." And I can remember, even standing here today before you, I can remember how my heart felt as I sang those words. There was a joy and there was a determination. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to that old life that God has delivered me from. I'm not going back to those old companions. There was another, and maybe it was part of the same chorus because, well, it's so long ago I might have forgotten some of it, but there was another, maybe it's a verse, as I say, of the same chorus that said, "Old companions, fare ye well, I'll not go with you to hell." And that's how I felt, and the young people around me. There was a determination, just like these folk here. They could have gone back. Really, there was no one there to stop them. But they were obedient to what God said and loyal to the Lord, and they said, "We're not going back. This is now the place where God would have us to be. We're not going back. We're not going back." And that's the proof of a real Christian. There are those who say, "Oh yes, I'm saved," but they're just waiting for the chance to go back to the old sins. Turn back a page in your Bible to Hebrews, the chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, just one chapter back, and the verse 38, right at the end of the chapter. Verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." That's what God says. "If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Next verse, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." So those who really believe to the saving of their soul do not go back. They press on. They press on. Just like those we're reading about here in chapter 11. Steadfastness marked their pilgrimage. Now the reason for such steadfastness is that they were not mindful of that which they had left. Look at it, please. Verse 15, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned." If that had been their mind, if the ways of the old country were still there in their mind, and they were thinking of those ways and what they had in Babylon and longing for, they could have gone back. You see, they weren't mindful. They were not mindful of the old country. They were not mindful of the old country. "For now they desire a better country," it says in verse 16. The old ways of Babylon and how life was there, it didn't fill their minds. They weren't thinking of that all the time. If you look down the chapter in the verse 22, we read these words, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones." So Joseph, who was down in Egypt and was virtually the king of Egypt, when he came to die, what was he thinking of? Egypt? with all his glory and power?
No.
He was thinking of the promised land, and he said, don't bury me here in Egypt. But when it comes God's time to take you out of Egypt, make sure you bring my bones with you and bury me in the land of Canaan. See, he was thinking of that day when Israel would go back to the land of Canaan, for that's where they belonged. They didn't belong in Egypt. And boys and girls, and everything we do, and all the actions we're engaged in, and every activity, let us never forget, this world's not our home. We're going to heaven if we're saved. If we're saved. Now, keeping our hearts and minds fixed on Christ delivers us from being tempted to follow the world. In Colossians, the chapter 3, let me read to you what it says. If ye then be risen with Christ, if you have the life of Christ within you, if you're born again, seek those things which are above. Seek those things which are above. I remember when I was young, we used to snare rabbits. You don't even see a rabbit today. There used to be millions of them in the countryside when I was a boy. And we used to snare them. Now, sometimes when you went out in the morning, early in the morning, to look at the snares, you might find one kicking and struggling and wrestling to get out of the snare. And sometimes you would go over to the wee rabbit and grab it and loose the snare that was around its neck and take it off, and you'd let it go. And I want to tell you that wee rabbit took off like a hare, if I might liken it to such, but it took off so fast. It didn't want to come back to the snare. It wanted to get away to the burrow and to the life of freedom that now it had. And so it is with the child of God, having been saved by the Lord's grace and having received life and power from him. We look on him and we keep our eyes on him and we're looking on to him and we follow his ways. We're not interested in the old world from which we have been delivered. Its snare has been taken off our neck. We're set free. The old world's a dead thing to us. We're not interested in it. Do you remember the man of Gadara? Do you remember him? Oh, he was raving mad in his sin and the Lord delivered him. And we read of him being in his right mind, he's clothed, and he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. Do you think he ever went back to the old gravestones and tombstones that he had been living amongst? I don't think so. Now that his life was changed, he didn't go back to the old ways. And so it is with the child of God. And so it was with these pilgrims. They didn't go back to Babylon. They didn't have that desire. Tell me, are you pressing on the homeward way? Are you seeking to follow the Lord and obey him and do what's right and not turn back again? Are you saved today? One last thing, and I'll quickly deal with it. I want you to notice how that they considered heaven a superior place to anything that Babylon had to offer. The superiority of their heaven is set forth here. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Verse 16, a better country. They considered what God had promised to them much better than that which they had left in Babylon. And God's heaven, boys and girls, is superior. Superior by far to anything this world has to offer. These pilgrims, and I hope you share their view, believed that heaven was better than all that the world could offer. In Romans chapter 6, there's a little verse that has meant a lot to me over the years. Romans 6 and verse 20 says this, for when we were the servants of sin, we were free from righteousness. What fruit had we then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. There's not a Christian, an adult Christian, who looks back on the life they used to live and what they used to do before they were converted, but they're ashamed. They're ashamed of that life. These pilgrims were not ashamed of heaven. Oh, they would have been ashamed of the things they did in Babylon, but they weren't ashamed of God, or His truth, or His word. Such a view, of course, pleased the Lord. I want you to notice that. They were not ashamed of Him, it says, and He wasn't ashamed of them. And those that God is not ashamed of, He has a great reward for. Those that love the Lord, those that recognize His mercy and His goodness toward them, and happily tell everybody about it. They're not a bit ashamed of the Lord. God's not ashamed of them. Isn't that something? God's not ashamed of them. He's not ashamed to say to the angels, these are mine. These are my people. This is my son. This is my daughter. This is my child. Tells the angels that. Tells the old devil that. Even as God spoke of that good man Job. Have you considered Job? He's a perfect man, he said to the devil. He's a perfect man. That is, he obeys me and he follows me most consistently. He's a good man. I love Job. He's my friend. God wasn't ashamed of Job. And He's not ashamed of you today if you love Him. Isn't that a lovely thing? But there are some of whom the Lord is ashamed and will be ashamed. I'll read you the words of the Lord Jesus in Luke's Gospel, the chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, and it's the verse 26. And the Savior is speaking. And if you look at verse 23, He says, "If any man shall come after me, let him deny himself." He's talking about those who obey the gospel and who profess to be saved and who profess to follow Him. Then in verse 26 He says, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." When he comes in his own glory, in the glory of the Father, surrounded by the glory of the angels, those who were ashamed of the Lord Jesus, never mentioned his name, never let on that they were Christians, he'll be ashamed of them. Do you know what people do when they're ashamed of someone? I always remember holding an open air in Enniskillen. Right opposite to that place where now Dunn's store is. I used to stand there and have an open air, and usually it was on my own. And I remember I was preaching away one day with a microphone there, and I looked up the street and I saw a member of my church coming down the pavement, round the corner, coming toward me. And I was preaching away and I kept my eye upon them. And I saw them, and it's wonderful how you can see. I saw them coming along, and they were occupied with their thoughts and the business that they were in town to do, and suddenly they heard the voice of the open air, and you could see them looking all around to see where this sound was coming from, and they spotted me. And they knew if they come on down, they'd have to stand with me. So they turned round and headed back. Why? Because they were ashamed to stand in the open air before their neighbours and own Christ. I remember that so well. They were ashamed. Well, I hope that that was only one occasion in which they were ashamed, and they repented of it and never did the like again. Because if we live ashamed of Christ, when He comes, He'll do what that man did. He'll turn His back on us. He'll not speak to us. He'll not say, "This is one of mine." No, He'll turn His back on us as if we weren't there. Now, you don't want that to happen. So don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. And He won't be ashamed of you. Read those verses, boys and girls. Have a wee look at them again. Maybe you'll get a chance during the day. Just open your Bibles, look at those verses again and read the words. May the Lord bless them to you. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, be pleased to write these words upon the hearts of the boys and the girls today. Remember those who are off sick, those who are off on work experience. Lord, may they impress those around them with the marks of grace in their lives. Bless the school today, Lord, and undertake for each one. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.